Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence, we were talking in part one about testing for celiac disease. And I want to share this with you before we get to questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We'll get to some in just a moment, but completing the thoughts on testing for celiac disease. Headline, August 2019, world's first diagnostic blood test for celiac disease in sight. I got a little bit of a problem with the headline writer there.
Wow.
Because there is not the world's first diagnostic blood test for celiac
right.
disease. There are diagnostic tests like transglutaminase.
Yes, endomysial.
But this is unique. Mm-hmm. The current method for diagnosing celiac disease can take weeks or months. It involves people having to consume gluten and experience the very unpleasant side effects for all of that time. So, in other words, if you're not eating gluten and you do a test, that can't tell you if you have it.
Right.
They say a blood test could cut that time to hours. The biotechnology firm Immusan T, Inc. of Cambridge, Mass. Led the international team behind the recent discovery, which features in the journal Science Advances. For the first time, says co-senior author Dr. Robert P. Anderson, chief scientific officer of Immusan T. Obviously, they're promoting their test, and we'll see if it really is what's cracked up to be. Quote, we have described the inflammatory reaction patients with celiac disease experience in the immediate hours after they're exposed to gluten. In other words, you just have to have one challenge.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Anderson suggests the findings could also lead to methods to help to spot people without celiac disease but who have similar symptoms and guide them to more suitable treatments, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the company, you want to look it up, buy stock, it's called Immusan T.
Interesting.
And it's going to take a while before this is probably vetted and approved, because it's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that the response to gluten is linked to an increase in inflammatory molecules in the bloodstream, such as interleukin-2. And so by measuring IL-2 and maybe some other things, they have come up with a way to reliably diagnose that without telling people, oh, you know, for a couple of months, eat gluten and then we'll test you.
Right, right. And the other problem with doing that, besides the symptoms that may return for the patient who possibly has celiac disease, is the biopsy itself. You have to take the proper amount of samples from enough places in the small intestine.
You can get a false negative.
What if you get a false negative? What if you get bites from areas that are not inflamed?
Right.
Or
especially if it's a mild case.
Right. So there's room for error in the biopsy. So it would be great to have
this
a blood test.
And not everyone who does the biopsies does the proper technique.
That's true. So it's about the user. So, very interesting stuff. Ivy, you need a different approach to taking these tests to rule out whether you have celiac disease or not. And if you do have celiac disease, you need to be absolutely gluten-free for the rest of your life. You don't have to have GI symptoms. You may have other autoimmune things that aren't even on the clinical horizon yet that need to be looked at.
Right.
So you don't have problems down the road.
Fend off problems that might occur, because problems that occur with gluten intolerance may take 10, 20, 30 years to develop.
Right. And another trend I see, and this is not an association I'm making, I'm just finding it interesting that many people who have cancer later in their lives often had an autoimmune condition of some sort that was not recognized, not diagnosed, not treated, or something. Or maybe was treated for too long with immunosuppressants, and that's another reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be something else. Kind of a double-edged sword there. But
All right. Thank
you, Ivy, for that question. Well, I could talk forever about that.
But don't. We want to allow one of our sponsors share an important message with our listeners. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And also through your patronage of Fullscript, drhoffmanstore.com gets you the supplements that we often reference here on this program. All right, let's get back to questions, Layla.
Okay, we have an email from Nicole. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I love listening to your podcast. I'm 37 years old, 5'2", 125 pounds, and very active. I eat as much organic as possible. This past January, I was diagnosed with two disc herniations in my cervical spine. C5 through C7, compressing on the spinal cord. All symptoms started at the same time, dizziness, nausea, weakness, numbness in my hands and feet, burning, ringing in the ears. After completing therapy, I still have the dizziness and ear buzzing. And after seeing multiple doctors, receiving surgery diagnoses, multiple pain medications that were never filled, I started to lose faith in doctors. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, could not find a holistic doctor for my needs. Could all this be related to my cervical spine?
Well, this is a question that a chiropractor or an osteopath would just love. Because when you have neck problems, mm-hmm. The ramifications are to your cranial nerves, mm-hmm. and vertigo can often be explained on the basis of that, you know, certainly ear symptoms. Mm-hmm. If it's already causing problems with the fingertips, there really is some compression of the nerves. So I think the proper person to figure out if there are any implications in terms of those, what seem to be unrelated symptoms, would be an osteopath or a chiropractor. Because mm-hmm. that's their bread and butter. They believe that a lot of problems emanate from the spine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not going to go further on that because
right.
That is a whole direction, I think, mm-hmm. that might be useful. Did she have an operation?
No. Multiple docs receiving surgery diagnoses and multiple pain prescriptions that were never filled.
Wow, okay.
So
that's how people get hooked.
Nicole is currently taking fish oil, borage oil, magnesium, vitamin C, a daily multi, and zinc.
How about some curcumin?
Take some curcumin.
Anti-inflammatory.
Boswellian.
But if it's structural and mechanical, the vitamins will be of limited efficacy.
Yeah.
Certainly there's an inflammation element to this, mm-hmm. but if there's some misalignment, then, as there obviously is with a herniation that's been diagnosed, it's been seen, it's visualized mm-hmm. by probably MRI. There definitely could be all kinds of signals that are being sent to the vestibular system in the ears, the brain, you know.
Right.
There could be all kinds of autonomic disturbances created by this. The neck is very important.
Yeah. Oh, Nicole, best of luck to you. The only other reason, Dr. Hoppen, for vertigo might be viral or something like that.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, there's so many of the other concerns.
But that should play itself out after a few months, pretty much, or something.
Vertigo is
like
a very elusive problem. It's very, you know, about 80% of the time you can't figure out what it is.
Yeah. We have, let's see, we have an email here. Your podcast with Catherine Eban, explain how the FDA has currently failed to ensure the quality of prescription.
She wrote the book Bitter
Drugs.
Pill.
Bitter Pill. I have experienced this myself with Losartan potassium. My last three refills of 90 pills have been recalled, even with different manufacturers, and I no longer take them every day with their cancer risk. Why don't the pharmacies check the drug batches for impurities? We seem to need a third-party quality certification if the government agencies aren't up to task. Perhaps Trump needs to concentrate on Made in America drugs. All this makes me question the quality of over-the-counter drugs as well as supplements. Perhaps we should just rely on food.
So just to recap, we did a podcast with Catherine Eban, who wrote the book Bitter Pill.
And great title.
It's a great title, and she's an investigative journalist. And she has done a very, very deep dive, extensive research, hundreds of interviews, looking at generic drugs in America. And did you realize that if you're going to the drugstore, you have very high probability of getting something that's either made in China or India. And in fact, 90% of the generics are made offshore. And a very high percentage of the drugs that people now get because of insurance companies. The insurance companies constantly bat it back to me. They say, well, don't you want to prescribe a generic? And I go, no. But they urge doctors to prescribe generics to save the insurance company money.
Right.
And
keep it in their profit.
Right.
Chests.
Yeah. And so they make deals with companies that for production costs are minimal offshore.
Yeah.
And, you know, we tend to think of America's losing manufacturing jobs like, you know, like Apple goes to China.
Right.
Or, you know, steel is being made in Korea and things like that. But it's actually, we're completely dependent on mostly Asia, maybe a little bit South America for our drugs. And 80% of the ingredients in all drugs, the ingredients, even if they're made in the United States, come from offshore. And the standards there are just sometimes abysmal. And this is comes up, you know, with this recent issue of Losartan recall. Hundreds and hundreds of lots, thousands perhaps, of lots of Losartan were recalled over small amounts of a carcinogen.
Oh, my.
Probable carcinogen is a blood pressure medication. So there's a whole lot of problems. When, you know, you listen to the podcast, you know, it's just, you'll be chilled. But many of our patients report that when they take a psychiatric medication and they go from the brand medication to the generic, it goes off patent. You know, it's, oh, it's, well, great, it's cheaper. They don't get the same effect.
Huh.
They don't, so they say, please give me, I'll pay extra. Give me the brand because it's the only thing that works for me. Metformin? Metformin is like $11 when you get the generic.
Okay.
But the brand, Glucophage. Which is Glucophage, is like $300.
Yeah.
That's the disparity.
Yeah.
And, you know, is it the same? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's not. It's a little bit of Russian roulette. So, and the way it could be not fine is it could be less efficacious, less strong. It could be released in a different way, so that time release is very important in these medications. And worst case scenario, it could have impurities or carcinogens. People died from a heparin problem.
Oh, wow.
Heparin came from China. They showed the factory where the heparin was made. Literally, it was being made with animal intestines in slop buckets. You know, like, it was gross. I mean, it was unsanitary conditions. Poor controls, the fake compliance data. They send FDA agents to these places in China and India, but there's thousands and thousands of places, and there may be like 40 FDA agents who cover the whole you
right.
know, Asia.
That's an impossible task.
And also they have what are called Potemkin village type facilities where they claim they make this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But then they actually make this stuff in some, you know, peasant hideaway, you know.
Oh, I see.
In, you know,
and then they just basically keep a storefront saying,
yeah, exactly.
Here.
Like a phony, clean, you know, place where mm-hmm. they companies share this place. They say, well, hey, oh, the inspectors come. Okay, we'll meet them there. Right.
Wow.
it's
That's
wild.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. So the answer is the answer Trump? I mean, Trump is trying to bring a lot of industries back home.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, a laudable goal mm-hmm. to bring the pharmaceutical industry back home. But then, you know, generics are such a boon. It's the medicines are so expensive. People can't afford their medications.
That's
so
true.
What are we going to do?
That's true.
It's a
do
dilemma.
Do you buy medicine or do you put food on the table or pay your mortgage or
people make choices
like that.
Sometimes around
yeah.
that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like a poor person with diabetes and hypertension and they can't afford their medication. So what do? They don't take their medication and they end up yeah. in the hospital and it costs an enormous amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Thank you for this thought-provoking email. All right. We have...
But, you know, the bottom line is, what is yeah. this? I mean, the person kind of leaves us hanging. She's not taking her blood pressure medication?
No, hers was recalled a few times. She's wondering if she should just rely on food.
Well, yeah, but I can know what her situation is. Does she have sky-high blood pressure and she's just going
to
like...
We don't want you to have a stroke, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's also not the answer, you know.
Yeah.
Don't take your medication because it's toxic. Now, supposedly, they've fixed the problem.
Hmm.
Losartan's not an intrinsically horrible medication. It's
right.
one of the more benign of the medications, as long as it's not contaminated.
I think some of the pharmaceutical companies are now offering to help afford certain medications. I don't know that a run-of-the-mill blood pressure medication
you know,
is on that list.
There's a problem with that, though,
yeah.
is that it gets people enlisted to use very expensive medications, outrageously expensive medications.
Yeah.
And then they become dependent on those medications.
Not good.
So, you know, thank you for your assistance, but it's a little bit like the dealer saying, hey, the first one's on me. Here
right.
you go.
Right. I can't afford this $1,000 a month medication or something.
Try this fentanyl. It's the newest stuff. It's great. It's from
fentanyl.
China. It's free. The first dose is free.
Oh, no. Okay. We've got an email from Carrie. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm 46, and I've noticed in the past year and a half, my once toned legs are now becoming full of fat and have cellulite. I've always been in shape before this. I've always worked out, but I've not been able to for about a year due to an injury. Now I'm back to working out. I'm doing intermittent fasting, low carb. I've dropped weight and inches in my upper body, but my legs look larger. My mother had lipedema, and I know that this is hereditary, but I thought maybe I dodged this bullet since hers developed in her 30s, but I look in the mirror now and I'm starting to see my mother's legs. Is there anything I can do? Apparently, not much is offered for this condition. Maybe compression garments, massage, tumescent liposuction. I know there are supplements that can help. Are there any that you recommend? This condition is not helped by diuretics.
Yeah, I interviewed a doctor who mm-hmm. wrote a book.
Yeah.
Which is, what is it called? Nutrition for
lymphedema. Yes.
Lymphedema and lipedema.
Yes.
Lymphedema is a little different than lipedema. Lipedema is like that kind of heavy leg syndrome.
Yeah.
Where, you know, your legs become like tree trunks.
Yes.
But lymphedema.
Like lower body, it looks like lower body obesity.
Yeah.
Whereas the upper half, you could even see rib cage
and
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and
but
people
it's all
can,
lower body.
People can kind of starve themselves, but they still have, and it's a genetic thing. There's mm-hmm. some genetic component to it. It hasn't quite been figured out. And lymphedema is often, it could be a sign of a disease, it could be just poor circulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's compression of the lymph pathways coming back up. So they're actually two distinct entities. Dr. Emily Eicher was our interviewee on that subject, if you look it up.
Good. Carrie, go to drhoffman.com.
I-K-E-R.
Look it up.
She also has a practice in California, in my hometown, Santa Monica, California.
Dr. I-K-E-R, Eicher? Emily Eicher?
Eicher, yeah.
Okay.
And so, what about nutrition? What would you recommend for nutrition for these
people?
Well,
I read a book about that, and it really focused...
Bioflavonoids?
Yeah, bioflavonoids, unprocessed, low in sugar, low in carbohydrate, anything that can cause a little bit of a diuretic effect.
Okay.
In the body is helpful. But that's pretty much about as far as it goes.
Then there's also, various, types of herbs, white oak bark.
Okay. Would it be like a...
Collinsonia.
Okay. Would it be like a horse chestnut?
Horse chestnut, yeah.
Or...
diosmin.
Mm-hmm.
Hesperidin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are the bioflavonoids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could be helpful as well. So, yeah, this is really something.
But there's a bit of a refractoriness to it. It's hard to treat.
It's hard to treat.
Because
there's no real...
And there's definitely a genetic component, so this woman is noticing that.
Yeah.
It took longer for her to develop it than her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that setback where she wasn't able to exercise intensively allowed it to creep
right,
up.
Right, right. And doing lower body exercise only makes her legs larger, so this does not work in her favor. Doing squats or anything like that. And so, yeah, they're not very effective treatments, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's a scourge.
Yeah.
It's a tough problem.
Oh, Carrie, we hope you find your way there. Anything you find out, do email us. But do look for that podcast that Dr. Hoffman has with Dr. Emily Eicher, I-K-E-R, or mm-hmm. look her up.
Yeah, I think there may be even a place for vibrational therapy for that to some extent.
Mm.
The vibrating plates may have some efficacy
move
in promoting circulation.
Yeah. There's lymphatic massage, definitely.
It's a challenging thing. There are some clinics that specifically deal with that.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Eicher has a clinic in California where I think people go and get the best possible outcome for this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Best of luck to you, Carrie.
Yep. Hey, we're limited on time here, so great questions. We didn't get around to all of them, but keep sending questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com, the destination for questions. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Layla.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks, everybody.
It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.